Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good. Well, I don't know. Did you miss me? You didn't call, you didn't write. For the first time since December 2014, we didn't broadcast a new episode. What happened? I was deep undercover, well, more like under the covers, binge-watching Mad Men, actually Mad Men, in anticipation of this weekend's series finale. Well, no need to fear, because I'm all caught up and ready for Sunday night. But hey, I'm gone 1 week, and there's talk about Troy Tulowitzki getting traded. Hey, I even suggested that you trade him high in my latest buy low, sell high article for the rotoexperts.com. By the way, thanks for keeping in touch via my Twitter feed. You can always find me on Twitter at Joe Gallina, at J-O-E-G-A-L-L-I-N-A. So how's your fantasy team doing? I'll tell you, I've had some issues with mine, but thank goodness Hunter Pence is ready to come back. We're taping this show on the morning of May 16th, and supposedly Hunter Pence is going to be taken off the DL and possibly will be making his debut today, so that's good news for me. Jose Reyes, another guy which I don't know why I drafted him, but he's close to returning from his rib injury. But we need to talk about Tulo, and we're going to talk about the shortstop position in general. I also want to talk about making trades in fantasy baseball. A lot of the stuff about making trades and negotiations that I'll talk about can be applied to other fantasy sports, not just baseball. And also, it's going to apply to your life in general. Joe Gallina is back. And I am here not only to make you a better fantasy player, but to help you improve as a person as well. It's Just a Fantasy Sports Show starts right now. All right, so let's talk about the shortstop position. I said we were going to talk about Tulo, but do you remember back in the day, I'm talking back when Derek Jeter, Nomar Garciaparra, and A-Rod, remember A-Rod was a shortstop for many years, but do you remember when they were all in their prime? Man, the shortstop position
was once a paradise.
And Tulowitzki, it can be said that
your breed made a desert of it.
I mean, it is one of the weakest fantasy baseball positions around. I mean, you can't put all the blame on Tulo, but today's fantasy shortstops stink. Now, hands down, Tulowitzki went healthy, and that is a big caveat because he already left last night's game, Friday night's game with quad tightness. But when healthy, he is the best shortstop around. I mean, after that, you've got Ian Desmond, the Nationals shortstop, who has three straight seasons of 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases, and he has started out real slow. I touted him as a buy low option for you in my first article for the Roto Experts, and I still do. But hey, if you're talking shortstops, the scooter needs a chance to speak. Other than a week or two, Ian Desmond has been slumping all year long, and as of May 15th, he was batting .225 with two home runs and no stolen bases, just one attempt. He is going to be a great example when we do our segment on trades in a few minutes. But the best shortstops so far this season aren't guys like Desmond and even Tulo. They're guys that you never dreamt of drafting this preseason. I'm going to take credit for one guy that I spoke about in one of our preseason sleeper segments, Marcus Semien, Oakland A. I also wrote about him a couple weeks ago as a buy option in my buy a low, sell high column for the esteemed Roto Experts. But in Yahoo Sports Writer Extraordinaire Scott Pianowski's Fantasy Baseball Auction League that I'm a part of, who paid $6 for Marcus Semien? This guy in Yahoo Leagues, he's eligible at second base, shortstop, and third base. Listen to these stats as of Friday morning. 305 batting average, 6 home runs, 6 steals, 20 runs scored, and 15 RBI. And like I said, you could insert him into three different infield spots. as well as maybe a middle infield or a corner infield spot if your leagues use those kind of positions. Another shortstop I like, and I think his talent is snowballing. You know, when you take a regular-sized snowball and roll it in the snow and it just gets bigger and bigger. Brandon Crawford's talent is growing like that snowball. He's got pop. He'll contribute RBIs, and although he's not a 300 hitter, he won't kill you with the batting average either. He's basically a 250 type hitter. As of Friday night, he was batting 263 with 5 home runs, 15 runs, and 18 RBIs. We're just about a fifth of the way into this young season, so he's on pace to hit 25 home runs. I don't know if he's going to do it, but he does have some pop, and there's a good chance that he's available on your league's waiver wire, depending on how deep a league you play on. Other shortstops I like, Starlin Castro and Alexei Ramirez. I featured them in columns that I wrote this year for the RotoExperts.com. I like Johnny Peralta. Philadelphia Philly Freddie Galvis is leading all shortstops in batting with a 355 average. But with a 390 BABIP, which is over 100 points over his career norm, I don't think he is a long-term answer. I mean, ride him for as long as he stays hot, but don't be too surprised when the bottom falls out of his season. Yeah, he's batting 440 over the past week, though, so he is hot right now. He cut his strikeout rate by more than half in the past year. His line drive percentage, which is three times what it was last season, at an above-average 24%. It's funny, the more I look at this guy and his stats, the more I like him. So ride him while you can, but just be prepared that he's going to come back down to earth. Cincinnati Red Zach Cozart has the second highest batting average amongst all shortstops with a 319 average. As I prepare this show on Friday night, 6 home runs, 17 RBIs. He might cool off a bit, but I have a bit more faith in him than Galvis. He showed me at least that he has some power based on his minor league numbers. He plays in a bandbox in Cincinnati. He's got a very low swinging strike rate, about 5%, and a very high 89% contact rate. He might be someone that could end up with maybe a 280 batting average with 18 to 22 home runs by season's end. Rounding out the top three hitting shortstops as per batting average, we're going to go to Alcides Escobar. Now, did you know that Escobar stole 31 bases, scored 74 runs, and batted 285 last season? Not bad for someone that you're picking up at the end of a draft, right? His line drive rate so far this year is just under 28%, which is way above average. He's consistently been above average across his career in that stat. It's really no surprise that he's hitting .307 so far this season. But let's get back to Troy Tulowitzki. Now, the media announced that Tulo was meeting with his agent, and they were going to decide whether or not he was going to demand that the last place Rockies trade him. But of course, as is the right thing to do, he didn't make that public announcement. That would just be a public relations nightmare. And the Rockies publicly say they aren't looking to move him. I call BS on both parts. Tulo, surprisingly, doesn't have a no-trade clause in his contract, so technically he would have to play for whoever the Rockies can negotiate a deal with. And look, we know that his numbers are not as great away from Coors Field. Now, when you drafted Tulo this year, there was risk involved. He is playing on a surgically repaired hip, and he has a history of missing time due to injuries. And like I said, he was removed from Friday night's game. They say it's due to left quad tightness. Check real-time sources for an update on that injury. But here we go. He's great when he's on the field, but can he stay on the field? You paid for the Colorado Rocky version of Tulo. Not a Tulo who has a .217 lifetime batting average in Atlanta, and not the Tulo who has a lifetime .266 batting average in Petco Park. Remember, he bats .322 in Coors Field and .275 on the road. By the way, there's no rumor that he's being traded to either Atlanta or the Padres. I just thought I'd bring them up because those are two parks that he doesn't hit as well in. Now, I wrote in my column the other day that you should sell him high, and I know my Roto Experts article was only published on Friday morning, but still, if you didn't act upon my recommendations and this injury, this latest injury, forces him to miss some time, that's your own damn fault. Maybe you didn't sell him high because you just don't know how to negotiate a deal. Well, I said we were going to talk about trading in fantasy sports. Well, let me share my trade secrets with you. After all, since we didn't have a show last week, I guess I kind of owe you one, don't I? So there are a couple of different methods that I use to find the perfect trade partner. Other than finding the dopiest guy or gal in your league, like, for instance, I'd like to try to negotiate a fantasy baseball trade with this guy. Hey, you.
Who?
Yeah, you. Are you interested in working out some kind of fantasy baseball trade?
No. I don't want to. No.
Well, let's forget that guy. But obviously, if you're looking to make a trade, first you have to take inventory and find out what it is that your fantasy team really needs. Is it steals? Is it runs? Historically, my teams always need run producers. I'm always lacking in runs. So determine what categories you need help in and look towards the fantasy teams in your league that have an overabundance of what you need. They are your natural trading partners. Of course, now you have to determine what they need and if you have what it takes to satisfy that fantasy team's need.
Fascinating.
Don't patronize me, Spock. I know it's obvious, but some people just blindly send over trade offers to other teams, offering them players that they have no use for. I also look towards teams in my league that are languishing at the bottom of the standings. Usually these owners have players on the teams that are underperforming, and who knows? Maybe they are so frustrated with these underperformers that they would be desperate and willing to trade them to you at a discount. Maybe they're not thinking clearly. A perfect example would be an Ian Desmond owner who has a team that's in last place in your league. Now, Desmond, we spoke about him earlier. He started out the season in a slump, then he got hot, and it looked like he was about to
snap out of it.
And he went right back into a slump again. That Desmond owner has got to be beside him or herself and is probably going to welcome a deal for him. Target that kind of guy or gal. If I can avoid it, I try not to trade with teams that are ahead of me in the standings. I always try to make a fair deal and make my team and my trading partner's team better. And the last thing I want to do is make a team that is already ahead of me in the standings better. Another tactic I like to use in trades is giving my trading partner the opportunity to figuratively hang him or herself.
What you talking about, Will?
Relax. Let me explain. I'll approach a team and maybe I'll inbox them asking them, hey, would you be willing to trade player X? And if so, what would you want for him? Take a look at my roster and let me know. You'd be shocked at the kind of offers that you might get. You just better hope that they're not too good, because so many leagues nowadays give the league the option to vote and possibly veto trades. And if the league feels that your trade is too one-sided, they're not going to let it happen. So I know I said that I always try to only work out fair deals. But hey, if I have an opportunity to get the better of a league mate, I owe it to myself to do it, don't I? Last couple of pieces of trading advice, always keep your on-the-block page updated. That will allow your league mates to come to you. And remember, you never know what kind of boneheaded deal someone can offer you. Allow those deals to come your way by keeping an updated on-the-block page. Also, don't ever let your emotions get in the way of making a trade.
There's no crying in baseball!
And there should be no emotions in fantasy baseball. Don't not trade away someone because they play for your favorite team. Don't not trade away a player because you don't want to admit
I was wrong.
I think wrong is the word that you were looking for there. You don't want to admit that you were wrong in your evaluation of a player's talents. And that keeps that bum on your roster. Know when it's time to cut ties with a player, and at the same time, don't cut ties with that player too soon. Go to baseballreference.com. Check out a player's split stats. Maybe a guy is slumping because he is historically a second-half player. Maybe a pitcher has a 4.5 career ERA in April and gets better as the weather gets warmer. That's Cole Hamels, by the way. Not sure about the 4.5 ERA, but he does pitch poorly early in the season, and he progressively gets better as the season wears on. Sometimes the best trades are the ones that you've never made. Keep an eye on the waiver wire. Not only check out who is available, but check out who your league mates are dropping as well. You'd be surprised as to who some owners drop in a fit of rage, okay? So you may not have to make that trade. And lastly, forget about loading your trade offers with quantity over quality. Don't make a 4-for-2 offer. Loading up your offer with four players who cumulatively are as good as the two that you're getting back is just
ridiculous.
Because the guy or gal that you're trading with is only going to have to drop two players so that they won't have an illegal lineup. So as we get to the end of this episode, and I'll tell you, it is great to be back after a one-week absence. I want to remind you that it ain't over till it's over. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that now that the show is over, maybe it's time for us to sit back and all have a yoo-hoo and celebrate the birth of Yogi Berra, one of the greatest to ever play the game of baseball. He turned 90 on May 12th, and so did my dad. Happy birthday to Yogi and to my dad. Thanks for listening in. Thanks to everyone who contributed to the show, including Phil Rizzuto, Oscar Madison, Mr. Spock, Cher, Gary Coleman, Van Halen, and Dr. Zayas. Check me out at rotoexperts.com. I write a buy low, sell high column and a streaming pitcher article every week. The Roto Experts are nice enough to publish them every week. They've also got an amazing amount of content that gets updated every single day. If you want to win your fantasy league, sign up for their premium exclusive edge package. It's definitely worth it. Reach out to me on Twitter at Joe Gallina, at JoeGallina, if you have any lineup or trade questions or comments based on anything I've said today. I'd be glad to help you out. Just inbox me. Hey, I was a guest on my buddy Matthew Passy's awesome podcast. It's called Pod Up, and you can find it on iTunes and all the usual places. Also, please take a minute and write a review about this podcast on iTunes. Get the word out. Tell the world what you think about this show. If you like it, tell everyone. If you don't, just don't download it. But either way, keep moving straight ahead, because if you do, then all of your fantasies will become realities. I am Joe Gallina. And thanks for listening to It's Just a Fantasy Sports Show. We'll be back next week.
Oh, we are the boys of chorus. We hope you like our show. We know you're rooting for us, but now we have to go.